This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Okay, welcome to my special edition with Antoine van der Lee. He's a software developer in the Netherlands. He works at WeTransfer. He has just launched his own product, and he's also, maybe you're familiar with him online with his blog, Swiftly. So I just say, Antoine, welcome. I'm glad that you could join me. So let's just begin, right?
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks for having me at first. I feel really honored to be in this quite new podcast, as I can say, I think. I'm looking forward to discuss all the cool things related to Swift and the community.
So before we really start, I wanted to get something out of the way. There's been something going on your Twitter feed about chickens. What's up with those?
Yeah, we're actually really lucky that I'm in the front part of the house right now. So I think a few months ago we decided to take some chickens in our own garden. But the thing is, when you buy those chickens, you actually buy them. You don't know whether they are roosters or not. So we took five of them, and as lucky as you can be, it turned out that we have four roosters. And at this point, they are battling with each other, who has the most loudest voice, as you can tell. That doesn't make me big friends with my neighbors anymore.
So they already started complaining.
Well, yeah, funny enough, they started complaining once the first rooster started yelling, not knowing that we had another three of them waiting for them. Right now it's not the best thing we have here in the house.
Okay, we're going into the winter now, but next spring, turn on the barbecue.
Yeah, maybe something, yeah.
All right. Get to the point. What I wanted to have you on my podcast for is because you're pretty much a well-known name, I think, within the at least the Dutch iOS community, and you have quite a substantial Twitter following. Can you tell a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? What's your origin story?
Yeah, of course. It hasn't been like this a few years ago. I think I started in 2009, my mobile development journey, where I started actually developing Windows Phone applications, funny enough. It wasn't really what I wanted to do, so quickly I switched over to building iPhone applications. And quick step forward. I think I started my own blog and the whole community growing part in 2015 officially, where my first blog post was released. Looking back at that blog post, it wasn't from big quality, of course. It's the first blog post you write. And it wasn't really consistent as well. So 3 years later, I think I published a 15 blog posts, something like that. And in 2018, I really started to focus on growing as an engineer as well as like a community person. I really wanted to deliver weekly blog posts, but I also really wanted to speak out on conferences. And at that time, I found it really hard to get myself a spot at conferences just because I wasn't really known. They couldn't really knew upfront whether I was a good speaker or whether I knew what I was talking about. So I decided for myself that it was required to really build up a name and build up consistent content from myself. So You know, that you build kind of like a name for yourself that you know what you're talking about, as far as you can tell. So from that point on, I think it's 2 years now, 2.5 years ago, I really started to focus on writing weekly. And that turned out from being something I not particularly liked to something I really enjoy doing right now. That's a long story short, because I think we can dive into many details.
And what's the role of your current employer, WeTransfer, in all of this?
Yeah, it's a funny story, because I get often questions from both colleagues as well as my friends or my girlfriend, where she's even thinking like, are you allowed to do this? You know, like, are you allowed to go to a conference during working hours? What is that relationship? And I'm really happy to tell that WeTransfer supports me since day one, where they really want me to continue what I'm doing. And they try to give me the space and freedom I need to either speak at conferences, work on my blog, write blog posts. But honestly, I decide mostly myself to do those things in my spare time and really, to try to find the sweet spot between both. But most of all, I think it's important to point out that they really support me. And yeah, it's obviously also a good thing for them, because I really shout out that, WeTransfer is a great company to work for, and they support open source and they support me. So it's kind of a win-win situation for both them and me.
Maybe just for people that are unfamiliar with WeTransfer, what is WeTransfer? What's their product?
Yeah, it's best known for being a file transfer system, where you can upload very big files and send them to whoever you want. The thing I hope many people know it from is Collect, but in fact, it's a bit less known product. But it's one of the few products we have at WeTransfer, which we develop. Collect is a collecting application where you can add all kinds of content and share them everywhere with whoever you want, and it basically allows you to really collect like a collection of files related to a certain project. It could either be web links, images, videos, but as well text content and all those things. It's really like the connection between all the creative people, and it allows you to really build out an idea you have together with all the other products we have.
So you work on this Collect product and on the WeTransfer app, am I correct?
Yeah, so this is actually the whole this is the hard thing to explain. So WeTransfer and Collect are two different things.
Okay.
And that's often what we run into, especially people from the first day that know WeTransfer for years have a hard time understanding what Collect's relationship is to WeTransfer. But those two are really distinct products, even though they look similar, because they both share and send files. Okay. I think the main difference is that Collect is way more visual compared to WeTransfer, and Collect also has multi-platform applications, like an iOS application and an Android application. In the end, they are connected. So they're family from each other.
So and the experience that you transfer into your blog posts, are those mostly gained at your day job at WeTransfer? So you learn things on the job and then you write about those and talk about those?
Yeah, it's a bit back and forth. So 1 week I'm writing about something I've been developing at WeTransfer at that moment. But another week I might pick something from a list I'm keeping with me all the time, mm-hmm. Where I really want to dive into a certain new topic. And through writing a blog post, I learn myself every week a new thing. And the very next day, I start implementing it in the Collect app. So, for example, last week, I was really diving into the lifecycle events of a managed object. And the funny thing is, I started writing the blog post with all my experience from the Collect app. But it turned out that once I start reading into it a bit more with certain documentations from Apple, I really learned more about the topic. And the very next day, I started implementing code updates in the Collect app, because we could definitely improve a lot more.
Yeah, that's always the case with core data, right?
Yeah, you know, it's it's a very old framework from the old days, and it has been improved over the years, but there are a few things that are really, well, like the solid foundation that you might not even know. And that's the fun side effect of writing blog posts every week.
So basically, let's just wrap the topic. We transfer up. It's a great place to work. You like working there, and they really support you in all the other things that you do professionally.
Yeah, exactly. And not even only myself. A few months ago, we had a supporting for open source project where every engineer could donate a piece of money to a project they liked. So, nothing but good words about WeTransfer from my side.
Okay. Well, that's great to hear. It's always good to hear that there are great places to work as an iOS software developer. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your blog. You already mentioned it before. So you already run this blog for like 2 years now, is that correct?
Well, yeah, officially like since 2015, so a bit longer, but I think the quality erased 2.5 years ago.
So that you, like 2.5 years ago, you really like you really went for it and wanted to do things right, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Writing weekly and really keeping it up to date and making it known in the community, kind of.
But for you, what was the trigger to actually want to share blog posts, to want to be a public speaker? What's in it for you? What do you get out of it? Why did you get started with it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was speaking with my sister yesterday, coincidentally, and we were discussing our youth and like how we are, what made us like the person we are today. And if I look back, I had several hobbies. So I played darts when I was 13, and I really wanted to be the best darter of the Netherlands. You know, I really tried my best to get the most out of it. I had a scooter. I did the same with the scooter. It has to be the nicest scooter of the village, even though it's a small village. But you know, I always try to be the best person of myself when I do something. And that relates a bit back to the blog as well. You know, I really want to get the best out of it, and I really want to make it as good as possible. That's one of the reasons. That's like the personality behind it. Mm-hmm. But looking at why I really decided to start writing weekly was mostly, it's like a knowledge base for yourself. You really force yourself to be up to date in the community, write about something, really dive into something, because, you know, it has to be from a certain quality. You need to know what you're writing about. So it's kind of a way to force myself to dive into something new and grow as an engineer every week.
But when you write a blog post, how do you know for yourself that what you are writing is good enough, really? Because I hear a lot of people that are blogging or doing something that's publicly readable or visible, that they have something that's called the imposter syndrome, that they feel that what they are doing is not good enough for everybody out there.
Yeah, it's often a reason for many of them to not start writing. Or one reason I often hear as well is, you know, there's so many blog posts about this topic already, so why should I write about it? The thing that worked for me is that I really tried to ignore that fact, and that I was not writing for anybody else, but I was writing for my own knowledge base. And that really allowed me to not focus too much on the quality. Even like another sentence I really had in mind is that I don't like writing, and my readers don't like reading.
Okay.
So I can keep them as short as possible. It doesn't matter. It has to stay to the point, short and clear. And it doesn't matter if it's not a very long, detailed blog post. Over time, you start getting better at it.
Yeah, I must say your blog posts have been increasing in size over the years, I think.
Yeah. No, you're entirely right, and I think that's part of like the growth you take as a writer. You know, you get better at it, and it starts to become easier and easier to write longer blog posts. But especially in the beginning, it might be a really challenging fact to really gain that quality blog post you really aim for, because you look at the bloggers that are out there at that time. I was writing or reading NS Hipster quite a lot, which is still today a really great blog. But you can't simply be as good as them within one day. You know, you really need to start somewhere, And as long as you keep that focused for yourself, then I think you can release a blog post as soon as you want.
Yeah. Okay. So you're working at WeTransfer, you're writing a blog. I guess that takes quite a lot of time, both of these things. And then you decided to also create your own product, it seems. So you recently released like version 3, it was, of RocketSim?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So what's special about version 3 compared to version 2? And what is RocketSim really?
Yeah, you know, before I dive in, I think it's interesting to tell, like, how do I manage time and how do I make it possible to do all those things together? And the thing I'm really dedicated to is automating things and being really productive in the time that I have. So, and also consistent, you know. So every Monday evening, I've blocked 2 hours to write a blog post, and I force myself to finish it in those 2 hours. Every Tuesday morning, I've got 1 hour to release the newsletter. And so those are really fixed time slots I have every week. And that already enables me to do other things on the Saturday, for example, which I use for my hobby, which is RocketSim. Mm-hmm. So that way you really manage yourself the time, and you really gave yourself the opportunity to deliver quality content in a smart, focused amount of time, kind of.
But also to be able to put the work down once the time is up, really.
Yeah, kind of, because you know you have a limited amount of time. You really know that you need to squeeze it in as well. But it also forces you to deliver, because if I would write a blog post over a few days, then I'm pretty sure that the next day I don't like the quality anymore and I want to rewrite it. All those kind of things that I don't have anymore, because I'm just really focused on that specific time slot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but RocketSim, can you like describe what it does for people that are not familiar with this product that you have now in its third iteration?
Yeah, totally. So it started all out as being like a companion app for myself during the development of WeTransfer. We honestly have a lot of universal links, endless, because every transfer can be opened as a deep link in the app.
Okay.
So you can imagine that every day I got another deep link to test and open the app with. And before RocketSim, I had to copy the link, paste it in the clipboard of the simulator, open it in Safari, and then open it in the app. Or I would create a breakpoint, which would call dynamically a method that would open the deep link. Mm-hmm. Quite cumbersome, and it wasn't really, really like productive, you know? So
This was like before the sim control improvements, right? Because you can do some of the things that you describe from the command line now. It's still a bit of a hassle, though.
Exactly. So this is the nice segue I needed, because this was indeed what I was started to do after that. So I was using the terminal to open the deep links. But then still, I had like returning deep links I wanted to use every now and then to just test out a feature. So I created an HTML page with all those deep links, and I could open that in Safari and open the same URLs every now and then just for testing purposes. But it was still not really manageable. I had to edit the HTML file and so on and so on. So I started to build like a layer around SimCTL. That's like the terminal command line tools you need to install when you install Xcode, which you can use for all kinds of things, like opening URLs in the simulator. So that's where RocketSim 1.0 started. Very simple, just managing deep links. And it wasn't even really publicly available, because, you know, I had it for myself, for my colleagues.
Yeah, you were scratching your own itch, so to speak.
Yeah, kind of. And I wasn't really convinced that it was good enough to be an app on its own that was worth bringing out, with all the consequences of keeping it up to date, maintaining it, and so on. Until I started running into another problem, which was recording the simulator. And as you might tell, you can do that as well with the terminal, with a certain command. But once again, it wasn't really working out. And especially if I wanted to share like a feature in a GitHub pull request or an issue, I had to convert it myself to GIF first, and then I could upload it to GitHub to have a nice visual representation of the changes I did in a pull request. Well, quite a few steps before I was where I really wanted to be. So once again, I started to enhance RocketSim kind of with the feature of recording the simulator. And this all sounds really simple, but calling in into Xerun SimCTL for recording videos in a sandboxed Mac application turned out to be really hard. So I think only calling that method took me a few weeks already in my spare time, obviously. But it was quite challenging. But once I got it done, I was really convinced that this was a unique product because it took so much time and, you know, it was something special and you could easily access it. But yeah, I posted it on Reddit with all the confidence I had. And then I started getting comments. People weren't happy with it. Why should I pay money for such a simple product? I can do it with the terminal, you know. The added value was a bit hard to find for them, even though I really thought there was something in that. So I didn't stop there. This was at version 2.0, I think. So I started to continue thinking, like, what is it that really makes it a special app on top of the terminal? What makes it not just a layer on top of the terminal command we all have and all can access? So I started to look into GIF conversion, but I also started to look into, like, being able to drag it into App Store Connect, for example, and making sure that the GIFs are so small that you can drag it into the pull request of GitHub and really quickly give a feature preview of something you're developing. And once I finished up developing that version, which is now, as of today, RocketSim 3.0, I really found it good enough to launch it bigger, launch it on Product Hunt, build a website, build a, well, like a real product representation around it. So yeah, as of today, we got RocketSim with quality recordings into both MP4 GIFs and App Store Preview supported formats.
So what you're saying is that RocketSim does a lot of things, and it individually, those things are all things you can do with tools that are already available to any iOS developer, but yeah, it streamlines the process significantly.
Yeah, that on one hand, and on the other hand, if you would record using the terminal command, you would get an MP4 file. But if you want to drag that into App Store Connect, for example, you have to transform the resolution into the right resolution. You need to add a soundtrack because that's required as well. If you want to convert it into GIF, you need to do that manually yourself as well. And once you start digging into lowering the size of GIFs, you will easily be reading a lot of blog posts on the internet with all kinds of tricks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can basically say that I've done that for you and bringing you RocketSim.
So it really is a process optimizing tool so that you don't have to remember all the intricate details of the command line. You don't have to remember what exact formats and conversions you need to do to have it in the exactly right format. For instance, the App Store Connect page, if you want to upload it there. Sounds really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It can really be part of your workflow. And maybe normally you wouldn't really share videos of what you're building, or you wouldn't really share a visual representation in a pull request. But I think once you have RocketSim, which is by the way free now in the App Store as well, I think you might be sharing it a lot more.
Yeah, because you've integrated it as a proper macOS application, you can most likely just use it as a drag source for any drag target that you want to deal with, right? So if you want to send somebody a quick demo on Slack, you can just drag it in there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm now only naming like the most common use cases, like GitHub and App Store Connect, but you can also use it to share it on Twitter, for example, to really quickly share that feature, or like you said, with colleagues on Slack. Yeah, totally.
Okay. So just to recap what we've talked about right now, we talked about WeTransfer, we talked about your blogs, we talked about RocketSim, but you're already also making quite a name for yourself as a public speaker, I think. So how did you get started on that, really? You already mentioned it a little bit, but it's something completely different compared to writing blog posts, just standing on a stage and talking to people. It takes a different set of skills, I think. So how did you get started with that?
Yeah, no, you're entirely right. I think the confidence started for me as being a DJ. Once of those...
Stop. So you were a DJ?
Yeah, you know, I told you about a few hobbies I had before. Being a DJ was another one. I'm even findable on Spotify as a producer. It's one of those little facts I'm not sharing with everybody because, you know, it's different times.
I'm not sure if we're going to cut this, though. So, sorry.
No, that's fine. It might be a good icebreaker for people approaching me. Mm-hmm. I started being a DJ, and that's where you start playing in front of audiences, and it starts with 50 people. And I think at my peak point, I played in front of like 500 people locally, but you know, it's still like a lot of people watching you, where a mistake is easily made. And I think that gave me the confidence and the foundation to start speaking out as well when I started making my work my hobby as well. And I think my first experiences were at Cocohead SNL. You probably know it. I think you're part of it even. But it's a great entrance point where you can start speaking in front of like a smaller group of people, where you know it. And I think it's always allowed to make mistakes, but you can really gain experience there. And that's where I started speaking. And funny enough, I got myself a job at WeTransfer through a speaking engagement. It was at Do iOS. I was called 24 hours before as a replacement for somebody that was sick. And, you know, I got the question like, hey, we know you had that talk from Cocoheads. Do you think you can do it as well on Do iOS tomorrow? Because we have somebody who's sick who can't attend anymore. And at that point, I was like, you know, damn, it's probably in front of like 100 people, something I'm not really familiar with. But on the other hand, I was like, yeah, this is a chance. I need to do this. And whatever, if I'm screwing it up, I need to take this opportunity. And then, it turned out that Sam, the product manager of WeTransfer, as of today, was in the audience and asked me to work for WeTransfer afterwards.
I think I remember that. Yeah, I think I was actually one making that call to you.
That could definitely be true.
It's a bit hazy because it's quite a few years ago already. But yeah. Do iOS. That was something else. So I hope we can do it sometime soon again with Cocohead SNL. But we were planning on this year, but you know, all circumstances, we decided to postpone. But
it's really hard.
So, but speaking, you're saying, well, I just did it. What was the response after the first like proper speaking engagement that you had? So at Cocohead SNL, you did like a bit getting familiar with public speaking, and then all of a sudden you were thrown on a bigger stage. So what was the response after that?
Yeah, so this is actually something I learned and something that really makes me confident to start speaking again. The thing is, unless you really ask for it, or when it's anonymous after a conference, you don't really get feedback that you did something wrong. So whenever you start speaking and you're finishing up, after that, it seems like you did a great job because nobody is approaching you like, man, you screwed really up, man. You should have done that and that better, you know? The thing is, you really just need to go out and speak and build up the confidence for yourself. And even if you get response or feedback like, hey, great job, great talk, but once you do it again, say less, for example, take that just as a positive point of feedback, which you can take to your next speaking engagement and make it even better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you build up confidence over time, and you also build up confidence watching recordings of yourself, which is really awkward in the beginning. But that's the best way to give yourself feedback because you see how other people see you.
Okay, well, let's look over my notes and see what else I wanted to talk to you about. Is there anything else you would like to mention while I'm interviewing you?
Yeah, so if... in any way I can give people the confidence to start writing their own blog, start doing speaking engagements, or being part of the community, just let me know and shout out on Twitter or contact me through through my blog, and I see what I can do, because I think the community is a great place where everybody has the opportunities to speak out and share their knowledge.
I will make sure to link those resources once I create my show notes. And any books or resources that you recommend, besides your own blog, of course?
Yeah, I won't shout out my own blog right now. But, it's something I was part of, to be fully honest here, but I think it's a really great book. It's the Swift for Good book. It's out for, well, almost a year now, I think, but it's still being named as one of the better books in the community. It's a community-driven book written by quite a few people from the community, so all different angles and all different topics, but really interesting. And the good part is that once you buy the book, it will all go to charity. So I think it's a really good reason to buy a book, gain some knowledge, and have some fun.
Okay, well, thank you for your time, Antoine. It was a very interesting talk, I think. I learned a few new things about you, actually, because besides a blogger and a public speaker, you're also a DJ and a hen keeper. So I'm going to make sure that everything that we've talked about will be linked from my show notes. And I will make sure that if there's anything that you want me to link in my show notes, I will also put them in there. And
Sounds good.
Thank you for your time. And is there anyone else that you think I should ask for an interview?
Well, in all Dutch proud, I think one obvious person to interview is Donny. Donny Wals is also a great community speaker. And I'm pretty sure he has some great stories to share with you as well.
Well, let's see first if he responds once I put this live. See whether or not he actually listens and actually picks up the challenge that you've put forward. So
that's a good check. Let's not say anything.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Antoine, for your time, and talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.